Okay, so I wanted to begin and talk briefly about the lunar eclipse, because we never got around to that yet. Days are busy lately. There was a total lunar eclipse on the 20th, 21st, depending where you live. For us, it was like about 3:30 in the morning on the 21st, which was last Thursday morning. And I just want to share a couple of things with you. This is some research that I've done on it from the Vedic perspective. Recently we experienced a total lunar eclipse in the sign of Leo and in the constellation of Magha, according to Vedic calculation. Magha is a constellation that carries a destructive force, and its ruler is Ketu. The moon was in conjunction with Saturn and Ketu in the sky in Leo at the time. We've talked in the past that in Vedic astrological understanding, we use the backdrop of constellations in our calculations. In Western astrological thought, they don't use that. They don't bring that into play. In fact, Vedic calculation is done using the backdrop of the stars as a way to measure where the planets actually are and how the signs are demarcated, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, etc., around the whole ecliptic. Ecliptic is the path that the planets traverse around the sun, which is like an ellipsis. The constellations are 27 in number. They are the same constellation. Well, they're the same ones that you'd see in the sky. You out here where we are, you can see them very clearly at night. It's very nice. But they're not the same groupings as the Greeks used, or the ones that we're familiar with, they teach us in school, in the Western world. They're divided differently, and they have different names and certainly different connotations. And the 27 constellations are divided generally into three groups: the Devas, the Naras, and the Rakshasas. Nara means human, so nine of them are human in nature. Human is, as we've talked about, like Rajoguna, the mode of passion. Hankering and lamenting. Humans always want, I want this, I want this, I want that. If I only get this, then I'll be happy. Then you get it, and you're happy for a while, temporarily. And then, okay, but if only I had that, then I'd be happy. And if this happened, I'd be happy. So humans' happiness never actually is in the present. It's always projected into the future. And if they have any happiness, it's generally short-lived. That's called hankering and lamenting. Desiring and lamenting, either if you don't get it or when it doesn't really deliver what you think it will. So nine constellations are Nara, or human. Nine are Deva, or godly, divine, enlightened nature. And nine are Rakshasa, or careful. You know, Rakshasa literally means demon or demoniac. It does not mean that somebody with the moon or another planet in a Rakshasa constellation is necessarily a bad person. It doesn't mean that. Although it could in some cases. Okay. And so let's explain it like this. Nara, human, are concerned with fulfilling their own desires and the desires of their loved ones, generally family members, those in their circle. Deva, or godly beings, are concerned with helping humanity, with helping the world, with making the world a better place, with making a contribution to the world at large. Their own desires are not, I don't want to say they're not important, but that's not their sole motivating factor. Rakshasa are also, like human, concerned with their own desires, but they want to realize their desires through manipulation or some kind of, manipulative or darker method of getting their intimidation. That's what I'm trying to think of. Manipulation or intimidation. Okay. So those are how the constellations are divided. Magha, this constellation, is one of the Rakshasa constellations. Each constellation is ruled by a particular planet. Constellation extends for 13 degrees and 20 minutes. If you multiply 13 degrees and 20 minutes times 27, you'll get 360 degrees. You'll get the complete circle, which is the backdrop for the movement of the planets. So here's the sun, here's the planets moving on the ecliptic, and here's the backdrop of constellations. And in between the planets and the constellations are the divisions of the signs: Aries, Taurus, Gemini. That's how it works. Okay. When there's an eclipse, the luminaries or the planets that give light, which are the sun, the moon. The sun is masculine, the moon is feminine. Pretty much in any tradition, you'll find that. The sun is regarded as masculine, the moon is regarded as feminine. The sun has its own source of light. It's on fire. And the moon does not have her own source of light. She reflects the light of the sun. But nonetheless, she's considered to be a luminary. When there's an eclipse, you will find that Rahu or Ketu, the north or south nodes, the dragon's head or dragon's tail, is together in the sky with either the sun or the moon. Has to be, because that's how an eclipse is calculated from the Vedic understanding. Rahu and Ketu are shadow planets. I could give you more of an in-depth explanation, but I'm not going to complicate it for now. They're shadow planets. They must carry the shadow. Everybody must, any circumstance, family, situation, somebody must carry the shadow. Because in the material world we have light and shadow or darkness, because this is the world of duality, light, dark, black, white, happy, sad, beautiful, ugly, healthy, unhealthy. This is dualities. In the spiritual world, there are no dualities. Everything is absolute goodness. There's no difference between one thing or another. Everything is on the same absolute platform. So you wouldn't look at a blade of grass in the spiritual world. Here, you look at a blade of grass and say, well, it's nothing but a blade of grass. According to yoga philosophy, a blade of grass in the spiritual world has the same consciousness as you do. Everything is conscious. Everything is vibrating with consciousness. it just happens to be in a blade of grass body. So you wouldn't look at that and say, well, that's inferior. It isn't. It's all conscious. To digress a little, according to the biblical allegory of Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve from his rib and gave them, women don't like that, they don't like hearing that from his rib story, at least that's what I found, and he gave them paradise. And he gave him one prohibition, just one. He said, whatever you do, don't eat of the tree of the fruit of good and evil. Correct? I mean, there's all these trees, they're full of fruit. Knock yourself out, but just stay away from that. So then the idea is like, well, wait a second, who's he to tell us that we can't eat from this tree? No, 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 he's telling you this for your protection. This is for your benefit, because what is the tree of goodness? It's duality. It's as soon as you taste that, you're going to see everything differently. Mm-hmm. Some things are good, some things are bad. Mm-hmm. Some days are good days, some days are terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, well, I don't want to say there's not night and day in the spiritual world, but you know, it's like that. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to save him a lot of headache. But you know what the rest of the story is. Here we are. Okay. In keeping with the allegory, here we are. Okay, so an eclipse is generally an inauspicious event because the luminaries are eclipsed, right? In Vedic mythology and astrological calculation, we always find the print. Okay, I said all that. Eclipse effects are not typically felt during the time of the eclipse, but are triggered later on. And the effects of the total lunar eclipse will be felt over the next few months. Okay. The eclipse happened in Leo. Does anybody know any much about Leo, the sign? Yes, you are, my dear. Leo is the sign of the king or the queen, and you are also that. Leo is ruled by the sun, so that's the position of power, authority, management, leadership, independence. It should come as no surprise to you that we have a lot of really, really strong women hanging out around here on a regular basis. And I appreciate that. So, Leo means governments, government authorities, government agencies, kings, government leaders, people who are in charge of departments in government, dictators, etc. So, one of the things that's likely to happen due to this eclipse is that we should have government leaders who fall from grace, are overthrown, rebellion, upheaval, forced to step down, worst case scenario, assassinated. In some cases, that's not the worst case scenario. Sometimes it's one of the better scenarios. What we've seen just in the past week is Fidel Castro has stepped down. After how many years in power? 50? 50 years in power. He relinquished power, stepped down. Of course, he said his brother's going to take over, you know. There, that's a good boy. You take over for me, you know. And in Pakistan, Musharraf was unseated in the election, but has not yet agreed to step down. So, you know, watch this space.
Versus next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bert. What do you think of her assassination?
From my exposure to Bhutto, I felt she was very corrupt. She was more of the same. So I wasn't sad to see her go. But that happened quite some time before. I mean, a month, 2 months ago now or something like that. And it's interesting that they're forming a coalition government with Bhutto's husband and this other guy who used to be, I can't remember his name, who used to be the Prime Minister of Pakistan. When he was the Prime Minister, he took Bhutto's husband and tossed him into jail. And now they're forming a coalition government and like sworn enemies. And Musharraf came in with the army and did the coup d'etat and took this guy now, this other guy who was ex-prime minister, and took him out of power. It's a small, tight-knit family there, as you can see. Anyway, those are some examples of what's happened. Further, corporate executives will likely be disgraced, fired, or replaced, including bankers. In other words, it indicates a fall from a lofty position or position of power. So more heads will roll in the corporate sector of people who have been less than honest or manipulative. Weapons may fall into the wrong hands, or countries may expand the development of their weapons programs to the detriment of the of their opponents and enemies. Because weapons also falls under the influence of the constellation of Magga. There may be a breach of security in a weapons, chemical, nuclear, or government facility. Surgeons also fall under the influence of Magga. So, working on it, I was thinking, I wrote the following. Surgeons will come under fire for unnecessary surgeries. Substandard practices or questionable organ acquisitions for transplant, which happens. Today, one of the minor headlines was not enough surgeons available. So this happened just a few days after, since the eclipse. Short of surgeons. Criminal lawyers will be criticized for manipulating the justice system to their own advantage or not representing their clients properly, so criminal lawyers will come under fire. There may also be an accident at a chemical manufacturing plant. A pharmaceutical company may be forced to do a recall of a drug with harmful side effects. This is really common in America. Very common. Some genetically modified food products, which, you know, it's so nice being here, because GMO products are not allowed. In America, they're not only allowed, you don't have to label. No labels required, if you can imagine. So some genetically modified food products, like likely corn or grain-based, will be found to be harmful to humans. And then also what was indicated was a serious accident on a mountain. Now, these are all negative things because they're negative because it's an eclipse. Mm-hmm. So some or many of these things are likely to take place over the coming few months due to the eclipse. Now, if you have any planets in Leo, in your Vedic birth chart, that means that the eclipse took place on top of those planets or that planet. So it's not, if you want to protect yourself or take some of the esteem out of a potential negative effect, then you could chant the mantra for Ketu or the mantra for the moon. So for Ketu, you can chant Om Shri Ketave Namaha. Om Shri Ketave Namaha. The reason I'm giving Ketu is because Ketu creates the eclipse. Furthermore, it so happens that the constellation of Magha, in which the eclipse took place, is ruled by Ketu. So we have a double whammy here with Ketu. You got Ketu coming, Ketu going. Ketu is... yours truly was in a Ketu period last summer, summer before. 4 months. Very dangerous period for me, not for everybody. I fell into three rivers. I fell into three different rivers. One in Ireland and two in Oregon.
Being baptized in all
of them. Yes, lovely. Exactly. Exactly. The Arklow River, you don't want to be baptized in that one. They tell me it's... Yeah, the other two were rapids. We were whitewater rafting. All right, and a mantra for the moon, if you want to chant for the moon, because the moon was eclipsed, is Om Shri Chandraya. Chandraya. Om Shri Chandraya, if you like. Namaha. That's for the moon. The moon is Chandra. All right. So I thought I'd share that with you. I didn't really plan what I might speak on today. Does anybody have anything they want to share or bring up? I haven't forgotten about Sheila, that you have some flyers you want to distribute.
Just one or two.
Okay. We'll make sure we do that before we conclude. Anything on anybody's mind that they would like to present or bring up? Nope. Nothing pressing.
I guess I just want to maybe share it with somebody who's tail.
Yep.
Because I'm Leo, it's just that I didn't realize they had the sun. I had the most amazing energetic spiritual experience. You know, the epiphany. You know, there's many epiphanies you said that maybe was going to happen. And it, you know, my whole body is still, you know, resonant. I'm kind of, it's like as if I'm living the world, looking at it from a different perspective, and I'm much more blessed and peace and joy. And, you know, my heart has just burst open, so it was a beautiful experience. And I was totally supported by all the women and men there. There's one.
Tell them where Teo is. Tell them where.
It's in New Mexico. Well, we'll get on to that, but that's a little bit of what this time is about. But personally, I just wanted to share that spiritual experience, and it was so beautiful. And then I have to go back here. I wish I could stay there forever and like go away.
Okay, very nice. So I think I'll read. That's long. I'll read one verse from Bhagavad Gita, which is the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna being God, and Bhagavad Gita is the science of yoga. How to link with God and how to subsequently get out of the material world and not have to take another birth in the material world, which invites suffering, aging, death, disease, and I read a lovely analogy for the soul. The soul is like a worm who roams free and can go wherever he likes to go. And that is the soul in its natural state. But at some point, what does the worm do? He spins a cocoon and covers himself in this cocoon, which then becomes a cage, and he's no longer free to go anywhere. So the analogy is, due to our activities that generate karma, good karma, bad karma, moderate karma, we have to suffer the effects. So it is us creating this cocoon, which then, this is the cocoon right here, the body. That's your cocoon. And the soul is limited to and restricted by the body. The only way, the only time you are free from the body is at night when you sleep and dream. And you can actually astral travel, which means you can rise up out of your body with the subtle body or astral body, which consists of mind, intelligence, and ego. You can float up out of your body. And you are joined by the umbilicus. You're joined at the navel, the silver cord, which will stretch millions and millions of miles to where, whatever planet you want to go, if you're able to go there. But you are still restricted by the body. The other time you're free to leave the body is in meditation. Other than that, you're kind of stuck here. So the worm creates this cocoon. We've created the body. And we believe that we're growing old, or that so-and-so just cut me off on the M50 motorway, or this happened or that happened, or it's raining, because these are all perceptions related to the body. Okay. Krishna says, "My dear Arjuna, one who is engaged in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of previous activities, free from mental speculation, who is friendly to every living entity, certainly comes to me." So, if you want to A, go to God, B, become a divine, godly, saintly, or pure being, if you want to be liberated from repeated birth and death, the cycle of samsara, if you want to hang out with God, if you want to have a loving relationship with God, then he's telling you how to do it here, very simply. The first thing he says, one is engaged in my pure devotional service. So most people are busy serving whom? Selves. And if you're a more magnanimous soul, you're serving your family as well. If you're an even more magnanimous soul, you might be serving the community as well. If you're an even more magnanimous soul, you might be serving the entire country. Or if you're more magnanimous, you might be serving the EU, etc. Very few people think about serving God. He's God. What's he need? To serve God is to serve the source. And when people pray to God, as we said on more than one occasion, they pray, man disposes, or God, man proposes, God disposes. So they ask, well, I need this, I need that, and can you give me this? And that's what people normally do when they spend the time to talk to God. So here, this means being engaged in pure devotional service means essentially to say, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What can I do for you? Does it mean you have to do things far different than you're already doing? Not really. You just have to have an attitude that I'm doing this, but I'm doing it for you. I'm offering this to you. I'm doing this for your pleasure. You've given me this talent and ability. I'm using it for you. To please you, to please these people. That's really all it requires, is a shift in consciousness. Then he says, free from the contamination of previous activities. So you have to clear up your karma. You have to. Excuse me. And not generate further karma. So you can clear up your karma by spiritual practice, some kind of sacrifice, prayer, meditation. And in this age, which is the Iron Age, the recommended Dharma spiritual practice for this age is chanting the names of God. Which names of God? Whichever ones you like. However you conceive God to be, whomever you conceive God to be, those names of God. It's not related to a particular religion. So these are ways of clearing up the karma. Asking forgiveness also clears up karma. Being forgiving in nature toward others also clears up karma. Right? Then he says, so clearing up previous activities, the contamination of previous activities, and from mental speculation. In this day and age, more and more people have, because there's been a falling out with religion and traditional religions, which, you know, that's not a big surprise. What did we read the other day? That the priesthood here in Ireland is down by how many percent? They're 60% off their mark. There's no priests. There's nobody becoming priests. That's rough in a Catholic country. Well, because why? Why are they not becoming? Because there's no taste. They're not. If you're not experiencing God in the church, in religious practice, in religious church attendance, etc., if you're not experiencing some sort of higher taste or spiritual taste, why would you go there? So people are not getting that taste. In a lot of cases, it's simply they're not getting the taste. Some people will argue that's because they're becoming more materialistic, perhaps, in some cases. Subsequently, people are saying, well, I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in traditional religions. And the way they conduct themselves, you know, I mean, there are certain religious zealots who blow themselves up and blow up others and all in the name of God. You're not going to win a lot of followers that way, generally speaking. Subsequently, people in the New Age movement have taken to what's known here, what's called here, is mental speculation. Okay, I'm just going to come up with my own concept of what truth is, or what God is, or what the higher reality is. A lot of people, since I've been into spiritual things, which is more than 30 years, what became popular, and what still is to some extent, is channeling. And channeling is where you allow somebody to actually to come into your body and take it over. You allow another force, another entity, to come in and take over your body. And where are you? It's like when you go to sleep at night and you can float out of your body. We talked about that a moment ago. But then you're not asleep, but you float out of your body and you allow somebody else to take over, and you're kind of floating off there someplace. I mean, if you could actually see it, you'd see the person floating over there in their astral body. And someone else has come in who doesn't have one of these machines made of earth, and away he goes, and he starts talking, preaching, teaching. Wait a second, who is this guy? Well, he's from the Pleiades. Where? He's from the Pleiades. He's from Alpha Centauri. He's from where? He's from one of them stars up there, you know. Maybe he is. I mean, I don't know. And then lots of people just start following this, you know. Oftentimes it doesn't really do much harm, but sometimes it does. It depends. But they'll take that to be their God or their truth. This is mental speculation. That's what it means. This is more and more common than ever before. You can't tell me what's true. I'm going to follow this, and that's true. Years and years ago, I was telling this person about mantra, and I said, mantra, because it's connected to God, it has a spiritual vibration, and it can actually spiritualize, or, you know, cleanse the heart and remove the negative karma. And I says, come on, why should I believe that? I said, well, it's up to you whether you want to believe it. But he said, that would be true for anything. He says, I'm going to chant Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac. It'll be the same effect. I said, oh. Okay, well, have a nice day. That's what he said to me. He's going to chant McDonald's hamburgers. And,
straight to
heaven. Yeah.
Boogie back
as a cow. Come on, boogie back as a cow. Yeah. Okay, so that's the concept of mental speculation. You can't make up your own religion. You can't make up your own concept of what God is or isn't. It's not to say you cannot experience God in your heart, or that you cannot experience spirituality, or a transcendental experience, or an open-hearted, loving experience. Of course you can. Of course you can. And you know it. I mean, you know it's if it's true or genuine by the effect it has on you. But you can't just make something up out of whole cloth. And who is friendly to every living entity? Well, that's pretty straightforward. It's humility. It's humility. The soul is covered by ego. And we all know what that means because we all have one. There can be generally ego, simply put, is either inflated or deflated. Which one's better? Neither. Well, you might argue inflated is better than deflated. A deflated ego is somebody who has a very low self-esteem. Might put themselves in situations that they shouldn't. You know, I mean, there might be people who are more would be addicted, for example, or would be involved with self-hatred, might contemplate suicide, self-critical, negative self-image, an inflated ego thinks quite the opposite. They have an inflated sense of their own value, and they think they're better than others, and they're not. They think they're more important, or they look down on others or mistreat others. We read a story last week of foreign help in Ireland, foreign workers, domestic workers coming from other countries, many different countries, in Ireland and working for wealthy people. And there's a lot of mistreatment going on and manipulation and taking advantage of them, taking away their passports, not paying them properly, different things like this. So that would be an example of an inflated ego on the part of the employers and deflated ego on the part of the people who are being victimized by this. Neither is good, inflated or deflated. A true spiritual person never exercises ego. Real tough one to do. You might try, here's a little homework thing you can test out. So as not to make it overwhelmingly difficult, I'm speaking of my own reality. Pick one day, say tomorrow, say Thursday. I'm going to spend the whole day and I'm going to act in spirit. I'm not going to act in ego. I'm not going to act in inflated ego, nor am I going to act in deflated ego. I'm not going to act out of ego. I'm going to act like a soul. So if there's a misunderstanding, I'll state my case, but I'll state it out of truth, not out of ego. I'll give the other person the benefit of the doubt. I'll apologize first, even if I didn't do something wrong, because the soul would do that. The ego may not. In other words, test it out for one day. Just one day. See how you do. If you can pull it off all day long. Hopefully it'll be an easy day for you and not a difficult day, because if it's a difficult day, you know as well as I do, that'll be a real test. Try it out for a day. All right. Questions, comments.
So, in other words, my son didn't want to put the bin out this morning. I will. It's okay. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make him wear the bin. Make him wear it.
Wear the bin.
There you go, darling.
When my son was 14, 13, my son and I always got along really, really well. We're like pals, you know. I'm sort of like a guy, I'm not one of these fathers who tries to take on a position. And that's not me. I just kind of hang out with you. Anyway, I like a clean house. It was just him and I living together. And I figured if his room is totally looks like a hurricane hit it, that's fine. Close the door. Mm-hmm. But when the whole house looks like that because of his presence there, I had a hard time with that, you know. Just trying to get him to pick up his clothes, they were strewn everywhere in the house, in a 3-bedroom house. So I said, pick up your clothes, and then I get at him, and then I get angry, and I yell at him. And 2 years passed. And he said to me one day, he says, you know, Dan, what happened to you? You used to be such a nice guy. You used to be a cool guy. You know, I used to like hanging out with you. But, you know, I don't know what happened to you. You're just this angry guy now. You know, I'm listening to this. I'm going, well, I said, I'm trying to get you to learn to clean up after yourself. He says, yeah. How did it work for you? I said, well, it hasn't worked well at all. He says, and why do you keep trying? He said, well, if it hasn't worked, you know, why are you wasting your breath? Why do you waste your energy? He's right, you see. Because what I learned was I was trying to get him to behave in a reasonable way, not unreasonable. Hey, I was paying the rent, not him. But it didn't work. So I turned him into my enemy for a few clothes strewn around the house. That's pretty much the worst of what he was doing. He's not a bad guy, you see. So when we had this conversation, I shifted. It didn't shift him. I shifted. And I said, it isn't worth the relationship we now have. And that it's degenerated to over a period of 2 years.
Did he get tidier?
No. Oh, absolutely not. So if I wanted his clothes out of the sitting room, I picked them up. And I took them up to his room, opened the door, threw them in, closed the door. And that's how I dealt with it. And when the maid came, once every 2 weeks, I said, could you keep the place clean for 24 hours? That's all I ask, 24 hours. Let me enjoy a clean house. So if you want something done, do it yourself. If you ask them to do it and they do it, great. But if you ask them to do it and they won't do it, and you're going to create enmity between you and degenerate the relationship, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, in my opinion. Unless they're really creating big havoc. I mean, your son didn't take the bin out.
Yeah, he did eventually. But they're good boys. That's just that one little niggly thing is just getting the bin out. But, no, you're right. You're right. Just do it yourself to keep your mom safe, keep the peace. But it's good. You're going to create an enemy. I think it's a very good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
My sister was like that. When we were living together, then I would do all the laundry, including hers. So she'd keep putting her stuff in the basket, and of course I'd wash it like a stupid person. And then eventually I started taking all her pieces out and putting them in a dust bag, in a big black sack. And I hid them. I just put them in a closet and left them there. And every time more clothes went in, until eventually she would look in her closet and she'd, where are all my clothes? And they'd been so long in the bag, they had mold on them.
Oh, wow.
She started washing her own clothes then.
Yeah.
See, now that's solution number two.
The real woman talking.
I like his bag, Lindy. I had to resist, though, because I knew the bag was in there. I would have liked to have washed it. I like doing laundry.
Yeah, well, you like having everything clean, which is, you know, a wonderful quality. So, okay, I thought we might look at this Radha mantra. Did everybody get one of those? Did I get one? Thanks. Oh, Catherine. Yeah, I forgot.
Her life boats work. She goes as far as the top of the road. And then...
turn back.
Never turned up. She only had half a second to go. It was in here.
Is the heat on?
Are you cold?
No, I'm rusting. Okay, just wondered. Okay, this is a Radha mantra. Everybody got Radha mantra? We've done this one before. Radha is the female embodiment of divine love. And Radha is Krishna's lover when Krishna was on the planet. Radha's love is unconditional. And there is nothing she wouldn't do for Krishna.
They're children. They're young, aren't they?
They're young. Yeah, they're young. They're less than 12. When they grew up as children. But it's not so much to put it in the context of being children, which they are. It's the heart connection.
Yeah, well, that's a better way of describing where their love is.
So. Yeah, it's a heart connection. It's not. Sometimes people don't really understand. They depict the love between Radha and Krishna as this very erotic, sensual, sexual type of, wild abandon. But that's not really what it is. It's a soul who has surrendered herself completely to the Godhead. That's the concept. And if you love somebody, what won't you do for them? You would do anything for them. And that's unconditional love. And further, that you have their best interests at heart. Genuinely so. You want to see them succeed. You encourage them. You empower them. You don't criticize them, or you don't go, oh, pff, yeah, right, you're going to do that. Sure you are. As many so-called loved ones do. Many people are like that. The first thing they'll do is you say, oh, I'm thinking of doing this, or guess what? This just happened, some good news. Oh, that'll never work out. You know, the first thing they do is pour water on it. We know this woman who has a few children, four children, and she has the younger son is trying to make it in the show business, you know, acting and TV, etc. And whenever he shares whatever he's created, he makes films as well, with his mother, she always criticizes it, always finds something critical to say of it. So then one of the other children, the sister, approached the mother and says, why don't you say something positive to him? You're always saying something negative when he's trying to grow and expand. He's young, you know, he's 21. He's trying to expand himself and his career, and every time he tells you he's doing this or doing that, you say something negative. Why don't you say something positive? You know, don't you see yourself as having a positive role? And she thought for a moment. She says, yeah. I do have a positive role. And the daughter says, well, what is it? She says, well, I'm his best critic. So, you know.
Can't win there.
She saw it as a positive role. But the effect, you know, you might say, I'm offering good criticism, which is not a bad thing. Constructive criticism. But this was felt to him like destructive criticism, you know? Grind him down, you know? Well, you have to be very, very careful sharing your good news. Well, your good news is one thing. Good news means something's already happened, so you're sharing good news. Sharing your plans. Why don't you just hang yourself now?
That's happened to me so many times.
You do not. Do not. You can't share your plan, your vision. You want to share because you want some positive feedback and people like sharing. You have to be so careful. And the people who are the most critical are the ones closest to you. Almost in every case. You have a better chance of being genuinely encouraged from somebody you don't even know, like a stranger, or somebody you hardly know, than you would by somebody who's very close to you.
Can you explain why you think that is?
No, I know that that's not why I think it is. Yeah. It's a fact.
No, but...
I will explain.
Yeah.
I will explain. The main reason... There's two reasons in particular. One is envy. Mm. One is envy. Well, who the hell does she think she is? Going and doing this and doing that. You know, she thinks she's so smart because she learned hospitality business. Isn't she such and such, for example? Oftentimes it's envy. But here's the other side of it, and most people don't realize it. When you grow and expand and achieve, you're changing the whole dynamic, the whole balance of relationships. People know you to be a such and such. You fit right there. That's where you fit. Now you're saying, okay, I'm not this anymore. I'm going to become this. And who the hell do you think you are? Because what you're doing is you're making me look at myself. And, oh, what, there's something wrong with me? I didn't say anything wrong. Well, you make me feel like I'm not good enough now because you have to go do this. What, you won't come to the bar like we used to go? You used to come to the bar every night. Now you're not coming to the bar anymore? Why? Aren't we good enough for you anymore? That's how it feels to them. You're making people look at their own lives and they don't want to. How dare you make me feel like this? Just stay the way you were, everything will be fine.
I think it's also people projecting their fears onto the other person. Because they wouldn't have the balls to do it themselves.
It's that too.
And they sort of, because they wouldn't be able to do it, they think that the other person shouldn't be able to do it either.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see that with parents. Parents will do that. They're always afraid, not they are always, but many of them are afraid that you'll fail. Well, what if you fail? Then I'll fail. And then I'll learn all the lessons I will have learned because I failed. Then I'll be much richer in knowledge. Right? When Edison invented the light bulb, before he actually got a light bulb that lit up and worked, that was version number what?
Something like 6,000.
96. So, can you imagine? Tom, you've tried this thing 82 times. It doesn't work, you fool. It'll never work. You're taking our grocery money, you're spending it on this nonsense. right? Kept doing it. So that's why. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you share your dream with people who don't believe in you or your dream or do not want to see you succeed, it's like having a balloon, which is your dream, and then putting a pinhole in it. You might say, so what? You know, this person was negative. It's only a pinhole. It didn't burst the balloon. Well, suppose you got 5 or 10 pinholes in your balloon. Then what? That's why people have great ideas or great intentions, and more often than not, they're not realized. They're not realized. Because they start...
Negative thoughts take it down and demolish it before it's brought into physicality.
We picked up a special piece, that beautiful jewelry piece that Kalindi had designed and made. We flew to Germany to get it. We came back that night. And we drove over to her parents' house to pick up the dogs. And then she came back out to the car. I was sitting in the car because I had this chest infection. Mm-hmm. And she came back to get the piece, to take it inside. And I looked at her and I said, "Where are you going with that?" She said, "Well, I'm going to take it inside and show it to them." I said, "Why on earth would you do that?" "Well, they're going to want to see what I've done." I said, "Okay." I said, "It's not a good idea." She came out 10 minutes later, angry, bummed out, unhappy, criticized. Didn't you? "I want to show it to my family. They'll love and support me." Wrong answer. No. Well, in fairness, she did get some support from her brother. Yeah, the brothers are quite supportive in the family there, but others are not.
It's terrible, though, isn't it?
I think it's the same.
It's
family.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you go back, and I'm speaking myself out, I go back again and again thinking, surely it's the same. This time it's different,
but
I'll be different.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
ow!
I'm not
going to
do that again.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just clunking myself over there.
Okay, so Radha, chanting this mantra brings love. Love. A loving heart. An open heart. Now, could it bring love with a mate? Sure. It can. Could it help expand your love for your mate? Sure. It can. But it's more about love for God and loving on a bigger level, unconditionally. We must learn to love beyond race, color, creed, nationality, distinctions of any kind. That's his picture.
Ultimately, isn't the only place to love to be in a relationship with anybody, in case, any time, anywhere, is to have a divine love of God.
Yeah. Exactly. Love means surrender. If you think you can go into a loving relationship with a man or a woman or God, and somehow organize it so you don't have to surrender, good luck.
Yeah. What happens if you surrender to somebody who doesn't have your best interests at heart?
That is a mistake. You do not want to surrender to someone who does not have your best interests at heart, or who doesn't understand you, or who doesn't get you, or who doesn't appreciate you. So we're not talking about blind surrender to Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Or Joe.
Or Joe. Or Joanne. Right? We must use always discretion and discrimination. I sometimes talk to people and say, well, I thought we're not supposed to judge people. You're not supposed to judge people in a negative way, but you must use discretion and discrimination. Otherwise, you're going to waste a lot of time getting involved with people that you shouldn't be involved with, to your detriment. You know, it's like... if you saw three drunk guys just came out of the bar on the corner and they said, come on, let's go, would you go off with them wherever they're going? It wouldn't be a good idea, no matter how much fun they seem to be having. You know, according to discretion or discrimination, it wouldn't be a good idea. So one must exercise discretion.
Isn't it really that you're really surrendering to yourself? So the world will mirror, the males in your life will mirror that energy.
Beautifully put.
It will just happen. There's no effort in it at all. You're just sitting there beside you, and you know you don't need him. That's a lovely place to be.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There's a detachment there as well.
With a compassionate heart.
Yeah, you can be loving and detached at the same time. Sometimes when you're loving and too attached, then we go into codependency. Mm-hmm. And we have certain expectations and or manipulations so that we can get our needs met. This is my codependency illustration. Is two people in relationship. This is a healthy relationship. Every now and then, one person must lean on the other. That is natural. If this person leans on this person, and this person steps away, then this person uprights herself or himself, stands back up straight. If this person leans on this person and this person steps away and then this one, the leaner, crashes, that's codependency. Mm-hmm. And if this person here is a jerk, then he'll use this repeatedly to get this person to do what he wants. It's real codependency.
Would you say that, I think the topics and the terminology, attach, detach, it's like making love and, you know, surrendering to each other and then detach.
Mm-hmm.
Detach and detach.
Right. Yeah, you have to be able to function in and of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a very intimate and close relationship and a healthy one as long as it's not codependent. And codependent also is the idea of manipulative or controlling. Well, where are you going? Well, when are you coming home? Well, what if I don't want you to go? What are you talking about? Well, then I'll be home alone. Yeah, you know, it's that when people move into fear or insecurity, forget it. That kind of behavior, that relationship is, it's only so much time left on that relationship when people begin to behave like that. You must, if you're loving, you're trustful. You're trusting. You have to be. That's what love means. And then you might say, yeah, but if I'm trusting, then the last time I was trusting like that, then now he found out that he couldn't be trusted and he went and cheated on me. Well, then now you know that he can be trusted to be not trustworthy. And you don't want to be in a relationship with somebody like that. But it also shows you if that's what you've attracted, then there's some residual insecurity or fear that you're putting out there. And then it's coming to you in the form of this person who says he behaves like this but behaves differently.
And he'd also say, well, part of myself, if that happens, he
has said
this before, but acts differently.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. You're not in sync with yourself.
Your mirror means you're shadowing on the side.
So. Absolutely.
It's great when you can see it. It's fantastic. It's like the science lab of life.
Absolutely.
You're taking it personally and beating yourself up. So
it also sets you free in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you become, it's like the creator of your own destiny, but you're not unconscious of what patterns are running through. You can actually see every relationship or opportunity that you have as a way of becoming more conscious as a person.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah. So Radha is fully surrendered to Krishna. And when you're doing it on the God level, then that gets you this eternal place in the spiritual world, which is a good spot to be in. Okay, so we've offered this mantra once before, a couple years ago. Shring Radhayai Swaha. I've got the pronunciation right underneath it. Shring Radhayai Swaha. I invoke Radha, the divine feminine embodiment of pure love. Benefits of chanting this mantra. Radha represents the divine feminine in her form as pure love for God. Also included within her purview are transcendental love, unconditional love, compassion, empathy, kindness, generosity, sacrifice performed out of love, as well as positive change and transformation inspired by love. She represents the highest manifestation of loving exchange with God, the lover, and the beloved that is possible for both a conditioned soul or a liberated soul. If you are looking for a human relationship with a high soul who will bring spiritual expansion to your life, then this is the mantra to chant. If you want to increase your love for God or all living beings or both, then this is the mantra to chant. If you are looking for true love in any or all of its forms, then invoke Radha's blessing with this mantra. This mantra awards all perfections to those who chant it. Now, don't take our word for it. Test it out. So let's chant it. Shring Radhayai Swaha. 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 Good one, huh? Okay, any questions about this mantra?
Would that actually include self-love?
Yes. Because the self, the soul is part and parcel of the Godhead. The way it's described in yoga philosophy is that God is the ocean and we are droplets of water in the ocean. We are not the entire ocean. Because if you were God, then you wouldn't be subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But the droplet of ocean water has in it the same properties as the ocean in terms of elements or, excuse me, minerals, salt, you know, it's the same proportion. So, yeah, it does mean that. It's very hard to love others if you hate the self. Because love is not exclusive, it's inclusive. It's meant to be inclusive. I mean, look how God does it. When the rain falls, it falls everywhere. You know, it falls in the dirtiest places. And it falls in the most beautiful places. It falls on stone, which is not going to absorb the rain. The only thing it's going to do is maybe wash the stone. It falls in the ground where things will grow. It also falls in the ocean. What's it doing on the ocean? There's not enough water there already. It falls everywhere. So that's, you know, there's no exclusivity. It's all inclusive. So it's natural to love someone with whom you're in love or who loves you and gives love to you, and to have people who you love a little more than others because of your specific relationship. That's a natural thing. According to the Bhagavad Gita, God loves people who love him and do loving things toward him. It affects him in the same way. He likes that too. He says in the Bhagavad Gita that he treats everybody equally. He doesn't look at one as better than the next. But to those who are devoted and are loving toward him and do loving acts and offer devotion toward him, he can't help but be moved by that. And they become very dear to him. That's how he says it. So that's a natural thing. So it's not that he mistreats others, but people who are loving are treated in a loving manner. But as much as possible, our love should be all-inclusive. You know, we've talked about realization of God takes place on three levels: energy, diversity, and personality. The first level is energy, just feeling that spirit energy, divine energy, which generally we want to merge into. The second level is diversity. Energy is easy because you can close your eyes and you can go into a transcendental state in your meditation and feel that divine energy within you. Now, generally you do that when can you do it with your eyes open? Well, sure. But generally you do it with your eyes closed in meditation. Now you open your eyes and you see all these characters around you. No offense to the present company. And you think, this guy and that guy and this person. Now that's diversity. You know, if God's in your heart, then God is in their heart too. Including, you know. Fidel Castro or people that are, you know, as you say here in Ireland, the knackers. People who are mischief makers, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. God is in their heart too. Right? So, loving, realizing God in diversity means realizing God in anything, everybody and everything. So that you look at somebody you don't even particularly like, but you don't see that. All you see is the divine spark within that person. So that's diversity. Not so easy. Less easy. And then personality, the highest form of God realization, is realizing God as a person and entering into a relationship. So you can say, well, I don't want that. I don't believe God's a person. I believe God's an energy. Fine. Then you do the first level. No problem. But when you merge into the energy, you lose your identity. You lose your individuality. I'm God, you're God, we're all merged, it's all one. That's the energetic level. And there's no diversity, there's no different kinds of things going on there. It's all one. It's all the same. And sometimes souls who are actually on that platform come back down because it's a bit boring. I mean, yeah, it's transcendental. I mean, I actually met people who have achieved that platform of realization and came, you know, just wouldn't stay there. It's not enough going on. Come back down, create some mischief down here. It's more exciting. Watch Coronation Street. Okay, so let's do a little bit of meditation. Close your eyes. Breathe. Relax. And let go. Deeply, deeply relax. High above is a beautiful beam of radiant light. See and feel this light coming down from the heavens, down, down, all the way down, entering through the top of your head, expanding throughout your head, torso, arms and legs, out the bottom of your feet, into the earth, below. Breathe, relax, and let go. Relax. Feel yourself connected by means of this light to the heavens above and grounded in the earth below. All right. you're in a beautiful garden, the most beautiful garden you've ever seen. Everything is green, verdant, vibrant, and full of life. The plants almost look supernatural, otherworldly, like a paradise. All the trees, apart from their leaves, carry either fruits or flowers. They're all flower-bearing or fruit-bearing trees. There are many wonderful fragrances from the flowers and plants being carried by the gentle breeze. You are in the center of a clearing with the trees around the outside of the clearing. Feel yourself to be an embodiment of love. Feel the love coming at you from every direction, like the spokes of a wheel with you in the middle. You're the hub, and love pours into you from all directions, from above and from the earth itself. And love pours back out of you in all directions. When you breathe in, the love comes in. When you breathe out, the love goes out to everyone and everything. Become that love, that pure, divine, unconditional, unmotivated, transcendental, surrendered love. Surrender yourself to that state of love and loving. Become love personified. Now, what are the effects of your love? In the distance, a person is coming toward you. They're very, very small now because they're far away. But step by step, they become larger as they come closer to you. Closer and closer. Who is this person? What is their attitude? Their state of mind? As they approach you. when they reach you, what do they say? What do they do? What do they tell you? What is the message? What is your reaction? How do you feel? All right. Returning to consciousness, back to earth, awakening, feeling refreshed, relaxed. And that peace. Good. That was a good one. Could feel that one. Any comments?
I can hardly move after that.
Welcome to the love boat. All right. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Om Tat Sat.